The United States' most wanted cyber criminal turned good guy is on the show now. Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR. Just a reminder, we just played Sponge there. They're playing at the Toy Drive on December 12th with Quiet Riot.
Nice.
I know.
Nice.
We're very blessed. Hope to see you there. Information on WPLR.com. AJ, how old were you when you committed your first crime?
Just being born.
This guy was 10. It's Brett Johnson, U.S. most wanted cyber criminal turned good guy. Good morning, Brett.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good.
Morning.
Good. You were 10 when you committed your first crime?
Well, yeah, I guess it's better than being 9, but
that's true.
10 years old.
Double digits, yeah, I gotta do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm from Eastern Kentucky, and Eastern Kentucky is one of these areas that if you don't have a job, you might be involved in some sort of scam, hustle, fraud, you know, something like that. My mom was basically the captain of the entire fraud industry there. This is a woman who, at one point, she steals a 108,000-pound Caterpillar D9 bulldozer. At another point, she takes a slip and fall in a convenience store, tries to sue the owner. We had a neighbor she acted as a pimp for. That's mommy. And
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's different.
that's this guy you're talking to, you know, quite the childhood. But
Right.
Yeah, my crimes began. Mom had left me and my sister home for days at a time, and my sister Denise, she was 9. She walks in one day. She's got a pack of pork chops in her hand. I'm like, "Where did you get that?" She's like, "I stole it." I'm like, "Show me how you did that."
Yeah, I'd like a pack of pork chops.
Let's eat.
So, you know, at 10 and 9, you learn not only how to shoplift food, but you learn how to cook food at the same time. So yeah. That's where the life of crime begins. And understand, I'm not trying to say that my childhood results in my choices as an adult.
No, I got it.
When I became an adult.
Down this road.
Yeah.
You do. It laid the path. It certainly laid the path.
But then your mother saw what you were doing, and she was like, "Hey, how do I get in on this?"
Yeah. She comes home. She sees the, you know, the Atari, the Intellivision, all that stuff. Where'd it come from? Denise.
She goes away for a few days. Your sister walks in with pork chops. You're like, "How do you do that?" And then the next scene is the whole house has like games and food and juice.
Student becomes the master.
You furnish the place.
Candy bars.
I still like juice.
Mom, we're good.
Mom comes home like, "What happened here? Did you guys hit the lottery?"
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
At home on shoplifting, yep.
So she wanted in, and then so what happened next?
So, I mean, that's when I find out that my mom is a criminal. My mom calls her mother to join us. We become this intergenerational shoplifting. Grandma joins. So, we used to take road trips. They'd go to JCPenney's and steal clothes and jewelry. I go to the bookstore and steal books because, hey, that's the guy that I am.
Yeah, family and, steals together, yep.
What are you going to do with books?
Yeah.
Read.
Read, of course.
Come on. Books on theft.
No, you weren't. You were stealing books to read them?
Yeah.
Criminals are smart.
Yeah, you can do something between thefts. Yeah.
What kind of books were you stealing?
Oh, I was big on... No, I was big on stuff like Frankenstein and then, you know, the classics.
Okay.
That's what I was on.
That guy stole
the
body.
When I go to university, when I go to college, I'm an English lit major.
Is that a book, Frankenstein? It seems like it'd be a thin one.
Yeah.
You mean comics? Did you leave out the word comic? All right, anyway.
Hey, I was a comic guy, too. Make no mistake.
All right. So they were going out. So your mom and your grandmother were stealing things you guys needed. Or you could turn into money. You were stealing books or whatever.
Right.
And
what was your biggest take, like, back in that time when you were a kid? We're going to get to the cyber stuff in a second.
The biggest score?
Yeah, your biggest score, like one day.
So I had an Atari 2600. I don't know if people remember what that was, but it was one of the first gaming systems. And a Mattel Intellivision. That was the that was the big gaming system at the time.
How did you get that out?
I'd went into Kmart and stolen one of the zip-up hoodies off the rack. And what I would do is I would put that hoodie on, And I would take those gaming systems and I would put in the front of it like it was my stomach, put my hands in the pockets, kind of poke it out a little bit. And, you know, when you're 10 years old, no one really notices what you're
doing. They
don't
look at you. You're too small.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wow. That's pretty good. I was probably 7 or 8, grabbed the suitcase, went to the toy department, filled it with toys. I didn't understand that you had to stop. There was a stop before you left the store.
Concept,
the paying,
yeah.
The paying place.
Yeah. That part, yeah.
I loaded the suitcase up, got in the car. My father said, "Where's your mother?" I'm like, "She's still in the store." It's like, "What do you got there?" I'm like, "Toys." How'd you pay for them? Like, what does that mean?
Pay?
He's like, "You are a man after my own heart."
See, yeah, he was like,
"All right, let's go back in the store." So we went back and gave everything back.
Oh.
Yeah. I have had some times like you, though, where I went through and just grabbed a bunch of stuff and didn't pay.
Well, you know, that's where it starts.
That's where it starts. So yeah. How do you go from there to being the U.S. most wanted cyber criminal?
Sure. So understand, it wasn't just shoplifting. My that entire side of the family, they were always involved with some sort of crap. And I grew up knowing how to do insurance fraud, so faking accidents, faking stolen cars, burning homes for cash, trafficking drugs, growing marijuana, illegally strip mining coal, charity fraud, document forgery.
You did all those things?
Yeah, as I was growing up, that entire side of the family, they were always doing something. So I learned how to do that as I was going.
Man, you're a television series.
Yeah, he's well versed.
Yeah.
Well,
it's a good movie.
What's that show where the whole family's criminals?
I don't know.
Oh, damn it. The whole
Washington.
Family. Come on, Phil, you know.
It sounds
is it
familiar,
fiction
though.
Or is it a real?
No, it's fiction.
Sneaky
no.
Pete?
No. No.
Meet the Nixons?
No. I'll get it.
There you go, the Nixons.
No, but the whole family, they're just, they're anglers. All right, anyway, go ahead.
So you know, when I went to university, I faked a car accident to get the money to get married. From that point on, I was kind of on my own as far as fraud goes. And I was in Lexington, Kentucky. I went to the University of Kentucky, go Wildcats, and was not doing really well.
You went to college?
Nice. Yeah, I'm an English major, man. Yeah.
He stole a scholarship.
How did you pay for that?
Well, so I
you were doing scams the whole time to pay for college?
The merchandise.
No, I'm not going to do the scams to pay for college. I'm going to do the scams to you know, have that Coleco television and PlayStation and stuff
okay.
like that.
All right. So just right. For the luxuries in life.
Exactly. Yeah.
But did you say you like faked something to pay for your wedding?
Yeah, I faked a car accident.
Nice.
To get the insurance money to pay for the wedding.
Oh, I got a side hustle. Yeah.
Wow.
I could do this.
So, I got involved with cybercrime. My first crime, I was watching Inside Edition with Bill O'Reilly. He was talking about Beanie Babies. They were profiling Peanut, the royal blue elephant, selling for $1,500. I'm sitting there going, I need a Peanut. Go around to shops the next day trying to find it, figure out after 3 hours, because, hey, I'm not very bright. Figure out after 3 hours that he's not in a shop. He's on eBay for $1,500. So found a picture of a real one online, bought a gray Beanie Baby elephant, stopped by Kroger on the way home, picked up a pack of blue dye, tried to go home and dye the little guy. It doesn't work. You get him out of the bath. Looks like he's got the mange. But had that picture of that real one. Posted it on eBay. A woman thought I had it. She wins the bid. As soon as she wins the bid, I ended up ripping her off of $1,500, and I got away with it. And that's the first online crime I committed.
Wow.
The lady, and what you find out is that's the first lesson.
By the way,
for most,
you sound like a nice enough guy now, but
sure.
It's a scum. It's a scumbag.
Yeah,
exactly.
And what
I'm trying to write this all down.
No, hey, what you need to remember is
I don't want
to
glorify this. This is
no.
This is bad.
There are people out there who may think that criminals have a heart of gold, that there's some good ones, everything else. Understand that I was a POS. that there was no redeeming feature whatsoever about me.
But in your mind, how are you justified? Because you have to justify this. You can't go around saying, I'm the worst person. How are you explaining this to yourself?
And that's a good point. I mean, you unless you're a sociopath, you have to justify that crime. And the way that I justified it is I said, hey, online, I'm this bad guy. But in the real world, I'm not too bad. I'm a good guy. You know, I give to charities. I help homeless people. I'm a good family man. All this crap. You know, I compartmentalized everything.
Yeah. I mean, Dillinger everything. Thought everyone else was screwed up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They justify their actions because deep down, people like to believe that they're good. No one goes through life thinking that they're bad. They think what they're doing is for the betterment of people.
Well, yeah, and you have to be able to tell yourself that.
All right, so that was your first one, eBay.
Right.
Talking to Brett Johnson, this guy was the United States' most wanted cyber criminal, and he's turned good guy. Keynote speaker. He's on the show now. He talked about the life of crime beginning at 9 when his mom would leave him and his sister alone. They had to steal food to eat, and this just grows into this massive industry of fraud with insurance companies and goes on and on and on. And then his first internet crime was on eBay. And then let's fast forward to when you're full blown, big scale. What kind of jobs were you doing? What were you doing?
Sure. So if you've ever wondered where cybercrime, where online crime begins, you're talking to the guy that's responsible for a lot of it. And that's nothing to be proud of. I built and ran the first organized cybercrime community. It was called Shadow Crew. Shadow Crew. It's a precursor of today's darknet and darknet markets. It lays that foundation for modern cybercrime as we know it today. In order for me to victimize you, three things have to take place. I have to gather the data, which means any your stolen identity, your login credentials, like your password and login, all these things I have to steal. Then I have to commit the crime that I'm using with that data. So credit card theft, account takeovers, tax return identity theft, HELOC loans, student loan fraud, what have you.
Have you done all of that?
I've done all of that, yes.
Wow.
Busy.
Then the final thing is that I have to be able to cash it out. So I commit the credit card fraud. I have to be able to get those laptops in and then turn them into cash or what have you. What you find out pretty quickly is online, in order for you to do that, you really have to network with other people. So you may not be good in the area.
Why is that? To be able to sell things or trade?
To be able to sell things, but also to be able to do the best job you possibly can. So one person can't do all three things. There's sometimes a skill gap. Maybe they don't know how to launch a phishing campaign, or maybe they don't know how to do a man-in-the-middle attack, or steal an identity. So you network with other people who are good in those areas where you are not. Shadow Crew was that platform, that website, one of its type that allowed that to happen. It was also the first one of its type of a marketplace of criminal goods and services. Now,
so we need to create a place where we can all of us criminals can go and talk
and
about the best way to rip people off.
Wow. Network,
right? Right. So that. And Shadow Crew is the it's the genesis of all real modern cybercrime or online fraud as we know it today. It makes the front cover of Forbes, October 26, 2004, United States Secret Service, they arrested 33 people, 6 countries, 6 hours. I was the only guy that was publicly mentioned as getting away. They picked me up 4 months later, February of 2005, and they give me a job. And I'm the guy
Hold it.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
First,
how good you were.
First, let's go into what if we put a number on what you think you may have robbed from the planet.
Sure.
What do you think that number is?
At one point, I had a bedroom that had about $7 million in it, all in backpacks, all in $20 bills.
This is like an episode of Breaking Bad where there's stuff of money in the walls and stuff. But what do you, all right, so you had $7 million in your bedroom, but what do you think the total number over the course of your career, if you had to just guess?
It was probably in excess of $10-12 million. Yeah.
If you had seven in your bedroom, it was more than 10 or 12.
Well,
so you're admitting to 10 or 12 on the show, but it had to be way more than that. We're starting with pork chops back when you were 9,
right?
You know, and then the cyber crimes. It's got to be.
Well, and understand, I to this day I still like pork chops.
Well, you should.
We all do. All
right, you should.
All right, so Brett Johnson is on. At one point, he was the United States' most wanted cyber criminal turned good guy. All right, so you made it sound like, oh, the Secret Service finally caught up with me and they offered me a job. I think what they offered you was an option of going to prison for a long time or doing work for them, correct?
As a matter of fact, they did let me sit there for about 3 months to get a taste of it. They get me out. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. They get me out. I go to work for the Secret Service, which means I was an informant. But more
so
than
you
informant,
did 3 months. That's it for all of these crimes.
No, I ended up doing a lot more than that. Because
okay.
as I'm working for the Secret Service, I'm actually committing crime within the Secret Service offices.
Oh, couldn't stop.
What?
Damn.
Yes, sir.
Look at you. You're like, they'll never think it's me. I'm right. working
yeah.
for them.
And I got away with that for 10 months.
Whoa.
Right.
Whoa.
Nice.
So
they
what
find
did they,
out about it.
So they wanted you to tell them how you've been doing this, and then they would throw scenarios at you and say, how would you break into this? How would you break into that? How would you, right?
Right. So yeah, my job was not only to, as an informant, not only to try to catch other people, but also to educate law enforcement on how cybercrimes and those attacks happen.
Where are the holes?
Methods.
Right.
Methods,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, at that point, law enforcement had really, really no clue about online crime at all.
Were you using the Secret Service facilities to perpetrate crimes?
Yes, sir. So
wow.
How are you not a movie? This is bananas.
Yeah, so they find out about it. They throw me back in jail. Of course they do. But a judge lets me back out, and I take off on a cross-country crime spree. Still $600,000 in the space of 4 months.
Why does the judge let you out?
So I was only charged at that point, not federally, because they were going to let me go. I was charged on state crimes. And state usually doesn't communicate with federal authorities at all.
Wow,
I'm
surprised.
Because my bond was...
They dropped the ball.
They dropped the ball.
They dropped the ball.
They did.
Did you, before we go further down the road here, did you ever, like, rip someone off and then see the story in the news and see the person was actually, like, you know, like, they were, you cleaned them out, felt bad, and then you gave the money back?
Well, you almost got it right. No, I never gave the money back.
Right.
Understand that I'd never cared about my victims at all. And if anyone out there thinks that any thief, any criminal cares about a victim, they're wrong. They don't. Okay, they don't. So please get that out of your head. I didn't care about my victims until I came over on the good guy side of the fence. And because I work with victims today, I developed that empathy that I have now. Before that, absolutely not.
Wow. Did you ever see one of your victims, like a news story, and say, oh, that was me?
Yes, sir, I did.
Wow.
I was doing, like, at one point, counterfeit cashier's checks. I sent a check to a guy for a couple of Rolex watches. He deposits the check. About a month later, they arrest the guy because, hey, he committed fraud. And,
God. And
yeah,
I don't mean to, like, I'm not on your side.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I can't believe the stuff you were doing.
Yeah. Yes.
Nuts.
Yeah, it was. And hey, this is the thing. These types of crimes exist today, and in order for me
and
to defraud you,
and it's getting worse. And we're going to get to that in a second.
Worse.
So I just want to kind of get to the end of your story arc, and then you're going to tell us all how we can kind of help ourselves here.
Okay.
Because it's getting worse with AI. All right. So Secret Service, they put you in jail a second time.
They put me in jail.
Judge
I get
lets
out.
You out. You get out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
go on a cross-country crime spree, steal $600,000, wake up one morning, I'm on the United States Most Wanted list. And what do? I say it out loud. I was like, Brett, you've made the U.S. Most Wanted list. What are you going to do now? And I say to myself, I'm going to Disney World. And that's exactly what I do.
Wow.
So, yeah.
You're kind of like in your face. to these people. You're like,
Brazen. Yeah.
Come and get me.
Go to Disney World, the Secret Service, they find me about 6 weeks later. They send me to prison. I escaped prison and get caught again.
How did you get out of prison? How did you escape?
I'm from Kentucky. We're a close-knit family. My father helped me escape.
Wow, this is truly a crime family.
That's a cool dad.
By the way, a lot of people texted me. It was Wild Kingdom. People texted and called the show where the whole family's just a bunch of criminals.
Yeah, so
or it could be called the Johnson family, either one.
There you go. Right. They catch me again after the escape. I serve out my time. And during that, I'm behind the fence. My sister, she had disowned me at one point. She comes back into my life.
Why? Because you were too bad?
No, because I'm the guy. Denise knew I was a criminal, but I'm the guy that I was always a clean-cut criminal, very naive. 34, my wife leaves me, and at that point, I decide the best thing I could do is start going to strip clubs. And I'm the guy that literally falls in love with the first stripper that he sees.
The first one.
I walk in one night, she's walking by, and I'm like, I need that in my life.
What night of the week was it?
It was a weeknight. It was one of those dead strippers.
You didn't get the best stripper.
Wednesday,
then.
Thursday.
Not a Tuesday.
Yeah,
you didn't get a Friday or Saturday stripper.
Well, I thought she was the best one. I move her in with me. After I move her in with me, I find out she's addicted to cocaine. Of course she is. Who's not?
Of course.
You know what's amazing? It's like how smart you are on one side and how stupid on the other.
How absolutely much of a dumbass I was.
I mean, I think we're all probably a little bit like that. We're smart in some areas and not so smart in others.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
Right. So, my sister, she disowned me because of that. She comes back into my life after the escape. That helped turn me around. I'm getting a divorce right now, but the wife, my
right now
that I'm, I'm going through a divorce right now
with the stripper.
No, not with the stripper. That.
How many wives have you had?
Two.
All right.
My wife now that's soon to be the ex-wife. She showed me after I got out of prison. She showed me what a healthy relationship is supposed to be, and I'll be eternally grateful to her for that.
Right.
But
she also showed you how to get a lot of money without scamming people. Just get married and divorce.
Yeah, she.
It's over.
Well, it turns out I'm like Jerry Reed. She gets everything. I get the bills.
That's right.
Right.
That's
exactly. Right. Still her heart, though.
Brett, hold on a second. First of all, I don't want. We're not celebrating this guy the first half of his life.
No.
But he is now helping people, and now with AI, it's even worse. And Phil just realized he saw you in the Netflix special, Web of Make Believe.
Yes, sir.
You were the last two episodes, the Stingray.
I was on Stingray. I'm also on The Greatest Heist, which is a cryptocurrency documentary on Netflix.
Man.
Wow. Look at you.
Are you still committing crimes?
No, sir. I have. I've turned my life around, and I'm very grateful.
But you know what? You've said this before to the Secret Service, and you were committing crimes in their facilities.
That's fair.
You would not tell us now on the air if you were.
You're right. I would not. You're absolutely right. There's no need to even try to lie about that.
And now you could be that guy who's like, yeah, no, I'm helping people. Let me show you.
Ooh. And hey, that's a fair criticism. It is a fair criticism.
But I'm wrong, tell you that, right? I'm wrong.
You are wrong.
Okay,
you are.
Good.
But, today I work with the FBI. Today I train, I talk and train at Quantico.
Wow.
I work with the largest companies on the planet to help them identify those types of attackers that I used to be, to help them see what types of crime they're either being hit with
this
or
AI
will be
stuff
hit
is
with.
Nuts. So
it's crazy.
Kevin with Brown Roofing made a quick AI video of me saying something I never said. And he sent it over. It was a joke, like just me getting in the box for $50,000 or whatever. It was so real.
Right.
It was shocking. And what? How do we even fight this now when you could grab a voice and a picture and make whatever you want? Like, how do we fight this?
So the answer to that, and understand that it's going to get so you think it's good now. It's not. because it's not in real time yet. But within the next 14, 18 months, we're going to see what's called a deep fake, which is what you're talking about, either audio, video, or a combination of both. We're going to see deep fake that's able to be done in real time, that the criminal behind that is talking, and as he's talking, it looks like you, it sounds like you, it behaves like you. When that happens, it's not an if, but when that happens, we stand the potential of getting to the point that we no longer are able to trust anything that we see or hear in an online environment. That's the news, that's financial advice, everything.
So that cat playing trumpet on a porch, that wasn't real?
Oh, man, I like that one. The drums and the accordion is awesome.
No, right. I know.
But I understand what that looks like. It looks like a CEO telling you that the company has went bankrupt. It looks like the ruler or the leader of a country saying, hey, we surrender, or hey, we're starting a war against someone. It looks like a law enforcement shooting an unarmed suspect, but the suspect was not unarmed. But because it looked like that, the city explodes and they burn the city down. That's what these things look like.
Oh, man.
Huh.
That's it's frightening.
Yeah.
It's very frightening. And to give you an idea of how big this is, cybercrime today is the third largest economy on the planet. It's $9.5 trillion.
Damn.
Right. Okay, so you've got the United States, you've got China, you've got cybercrime. That's how big this is.
Wow. What do you think that is a year?
Well, right now it's a $9.5 trillion economy is what that is.
Wow.
Okay. So you're not going to arrest your way out of the problem. You're not going to cause any of these fraudsters or criminals to, you know, go down and get a job at McDonald's flipping burgers because they've decided to turn their lives around. That's not happening. What is happening is you're seeing, instead of that 9 or 10 year old, shoplifting, and I helped the FBI arrest 300 people about a year ago. We found a couple of 9 and 10 year olds on Telegram running criminal channels. Wow. That's where these things are going today.
Damn.
Start them young. Wow.
Well, yeah. One of the things we have to be aware of is that now they can grab a voice and names and birthdays from your social media. They can make an AI phone call that sounds like it's a family member in distress that needs money immediately.
Correct. And the thing is, are you going to believe that? Well, yes, you are, especially if they say they're in trouble. I've been arrested. I need some money. Or I've been in an accident. I'm hurt. Or someone has kidnapped me, and they're going to hurt me unless you pay. So that's what these crimes look like.
I think the next level is going to be a normal conversation. Like, I'm not in trouble, but hey, I'm over here and I wanted to buy this thing and my credit card's maxed. Can I borrow $100? Like, can I put this on your card?
Mm. Yeah.
You know?
Right. And that's a good point that you make. So understand that a lot of these crimes, while they start with the areas that we've talked about, they start in one specific thing. But as they become easier to use, more ubiquitous, cheaper, the user interface looks better and is easier, those crimes, those tools, bleed down to every single aspect of online crime and fraud in which they can be used. So deepfakes will absolutely go like wildfire across the internet of crime when they become real-time and easier to use. And that's going to happen. It's absolutely going to happen.
Brett, I want to have you back. We got to go. We got Lou Gramp from Foreigner coming up. But I want to have you back, and we're going to link up to the Brett Johnson Show podcast. I'm glad you're on our side now. We need people like you. Thank you, Brett. Appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.